Well, friends, many people are especially disappointed this year that all the strikes that are planned for the next few weeks are going to prevent people from their Christmas gatherings. And that is because they've been denied having a trouble-free Christmas period for 3 years now. And many people look forward to the festive season more than to any other time of the year. And it is what some people actually live for. Their hope throughout the year is that they can celebrate at the end of it in relaxing and feasting. Now, feasting and rejoicing is an invention of God. We need to remember that God instituted times, long times, days after days, in fact, of celebration, giving him the honour and glory for all the good things of this life. Celebration is about rejoicing over good things. And God wants us to celebrate and rejoice over the good things that we have enjoyed. He told his covenant people of old, Israel, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days, Leviticus 23. Paul continued this theme and principle of celebrating by saying to the Corinthians, after correcting an error, let us therefore celebrate the festival. That's in 1 Corinthians 5:8. The whole idea of celebrating and acknowledging God in joyful eating and drinking is God's own appointment. It is right and proper to give glory and thanks to him, to God, for his goodness to us. Now, what I wish to speak about today in connection with our faith in Jesus Christ is the expectation aspect of our faith. What is the long-term expectation of believing in Jesus? Where is it all going to end? True faith in Jesus Christ is a long-term expectation that the best is yet to be in the world to come. And it's well worth waiting for, and it is well worth sacrificing for, if we're called to that, of course. The true faith of Christ is not a singular experience that fades away and disappears without any further reference or meaning, either in this present life or in the future. No, belief in Jesus Christ is full of future significance and purpose and glory. Properly conceived, our faith in Christ should get us up in the morning and enable us to face whatever the day throws at us, and then to give thanks at night for the good things we have received, knowing that in heaven we have a wonderful future. The future hope of the Christian has meaning and significance. We live for the future. Christians live for the future. Even the abandoned exiles in Babylon were to have a future and a hope. See Jeremiah 29, see Jeremiah 31. And Solomon said, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. He writes to believers. In connection with this element of hope and future significance, Paul makes an absolutely amazing statement when he writes to the Corinthians. For he says that a belief in Jesus Christ, if it does not include meaning and purpose in a future glory and triumph, that belief is worthless, it's useless. To quote the exact verse that Paul uses is this: if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we're of all people most to be pitied. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. He's saying that even if we think we are in Christ, and it means nothing more than enjoying the good things of this life, then we are to be pitied more than anyone else is to be pitied. That's strong language. The Christian knows that there is no complete fulfillment in this life, even for Christians. It is in the world to come, in that world where complete righteousness dwells, is there total fulfillment. We may get tastes of it here and now, but it's only a taste. Paul makes it clear that believers look forward to a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. This is our hope. This is what keeps us going. Our future in heaven with the Lord and a perfect creation to operate in. It is in the context of the certainty of the resurrection that Paul makes this statement about hope in the future kingdom of God. He is correcting the error of the Christians in Corinth, those who denied the physical resurrection of our bodies and who denied a life beyond this life. He was combating those whose philosophy was this: let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's verse 32 of our chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul went on to say, this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality, as in verse 53. And he concludes the whole passage by stressing they must always be abounding in the work of the Lord when they're here on earth. Why? Why work hard if there's no ultimate significance or profit or benefit in it? Well, because our time spent on earth does have consequences. Wonderful consequences for believers, awful consequences for unbelievers. Those serving the Lord are building up treasures in heaven for the future. Their faithful service for the Lord is accumulating treasures and blessings. Despite the imperfections of their works here, these works have a reward. We're not wasting our time serving and living for Jesus. Our labour is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brothers, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. Jesus taught us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Raheem Sterling, playing football for England in the World Cup, had to leave the hotel he was staying in at Qatar this past week and go home because thieves broke into his house and were stealing his treasures. When instructing the young man who was seeking salvation, Jesus told him, if you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. The big question is, do we have a treasure in heaven? Are you and I laying up treasures in heaven for the future life? Yes, if only in this life we have hope and joy with nothing more, we'll be disappointed. This life will not give us true happiness. It's because people have nothing better to look forward to than the fleeting pleasures of this life alone that so many people are upset at the present prospect of strikes and hold-ups preventing their expectations for Christmas and celebrations. May you and I have all our treasures, our real treasures, in heaven. Well, may God bless these thoughts to us.